I was dead from wrong, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Defender 7 Monday Night History Show with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Now, if you're new just tuning in, be sure to check out our Facebook national page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you click that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defenders 7. We're not just a Facebook group. We do need to get people together and start training. You get in, you feel it's not for you, just you may leave. No hard feelings. Also, check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd appreciate if you hit that subscribe button. We're also on MeWe. Click on organizations, scroll down, Defenders 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. We have a website. Type all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small I's, .com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any money we get in on donations go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. That's 100% of everything we bring in. We're not like the other groups where they keep 90% and only distribute 10%. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store or hit that donate button. I know everybody can afford a dollar. Help us to help you and your community in a time of need. That's what it's all about. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, I understand people have fear of talking on the phone, but that's all it is. It's like a conference call. If you're that fearful, we also have a chat room that is also live during a broadcast. So either way, that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. And now help me welcome in and turn in the microphone over to your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis. Good evening, Kimberly.
Good evening. Oh, shit. Or howdy, howdy, whatever. Whatever floats your boat.
Howdy,
okay,
ho.
Look. Howdy, ho. Okay, so I don't know if you forgot. I was lucky today. I only had six people. So we're going to see. I've got to get my charting done, and I try to do it as soon as I get home. So I don't know if it would be a lot more beneficial to for me to do Tuesday and Saturday or Monday and Tuesday.
That's up to you.
Okay.
I will work around
okay.
anything
I only have,
that you
I only have
you choose
three
to do.
More people to chart on.
I said I'll work around anything that you need worked around.
Oh, okay. Today was the bad guys. I got three more to do, and I got a couple of train wrecks that oh my God, that's all I gotta say. I got some train wreck patients. This comment is gonna be a generalized statement for anybody on multiple medications. Okay? I get that a lot of people don't like taking a lot of medicine. I do. I used to be on 21 different medications. Now that's counting migraine medication as needed, stomach, like Phenergan as needed, but it was 21 altogether. And I'm like, screw this shit. I'm done with it. And I have dwindled my way down to one blood pressure medication and vitamin D. And I still have my migraine medicine, my Flexeril, I don't take them every day. So, but two that I take constantly every day is the prescribed vitamin D and my one blood pressure medication. And then I also take my little gummy vitamins because I hate taking the whole
yep.
ones. I'd rather just chew them. It's my sugar
I
fix
went,
for the day.
I too went from 22 medications down to 7 that I need.
Yeah. See, I need the Flexeril. I need the Phenergan, and I need my migraine medication. But like I said, I don't take them every day. So
look,
it's,
That's what I'm saying, too. Since they tried to kill me 2 years ago, I was on 22
yeah.
meds.
Yeah. The reason why I'm saying this, I have a patient. He's on a shit ton of meds, okay? And he says he takes his medication most of the time. Here's the problem. He's flat out lying.
He
has 4 months supply of medication. Easy. I'm like, dude, you're not taking it. I'm taking it. Yeah, then why do you have all? So I get people don't want to take it all. Okay. But when you have severe, like schizophrenia, bipolar, you got to take your medication because that's why people do this. And then he's on potassium and Lasix because he's got congestive heart failure. Now, he'll take his Lasix twice a day plus his other blood pressure medication, which is also a diuretic, but he won't take that potassium. Guys, if you're on any type of water pill, unless it's a potassium-sparing diuretic, but your doctor will tell you that, so your pharmacy, you got to take your potassium. And so he's like, he's not, it's like, if you're going to lie about it, that you're taking your meds, at least either throw them away or hide them better. And like I said, today alone, I had to go through his medicine box again because he thought I was doubling up on his medications. And I'm like, no. And I had to go through them each, but he's a schizophrenic. So.
Right.
If you know of anyone that's like this, you got to double check to make sure they're taking their medications and stuff. And that's why I said I spent a half an hour on the phone with the nurse who's got to go out and do the recertification. And I said, we need to see him 3 times a week. And so that's what we deal with as a home health nurse. So if you don't want to be on all your meds, talk to your doctor. See if you could get off of them somehow. But I doubt psychotropic drugs, your happy ass needs to be on them because those are a must. You can't get rid of because those are chemical imbalances and things like that. And if you got congestive heart failure, you got to be on the blood pressure, the water pill, and stuff like that. Those you just can't get out of. So, but anyway, are we the only two on right now?
Yep, for right now.
Okay. So.
And we all, and also our every show guy, Duck, who's always in our chat room.
So I thought about, I know it's history, so I like to pick a history of this, and this, and the other. So I thought about doing something different, and I know this is probably going to piss people off, but I'm sorry, it's not meant to. I wanted to do, because this is actually a much-needed topic to talk about. There are 18 major world religions, and I'm not going to say, oh, this one's right, this one's wrong. What I want to do is go over them and say, this is what this one's about, this was what this one's about.
Yes,
so it's kind of like to a
I didn't know that there was that many. I said I knew there were a lot of religions, but I didn't know there were considered 18 major ones.
Yeah, here's the thing. There's 18 major religions. And then under Christianity, you have all your denominations. And then in Africa and another area, they have a whole ton of their denominations and their one religion. So I thought it'd be neat to just go over, you know, because I'm not going to get covered all tonight. There's no way.
No, like I said, I knew there were a lot of different religions. And then within religions, the different variations thereof. But I didn't know that they considered that there were 18, like, top ones. I mean, there's a lot more
than
18 religions.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't realize that 18 of them were considered major. I thought there was only, like, maybe half a dozen major ones.
Oh, no, there's a bunch. And here's the thing. And I'm about ready to piss off a whole group of people, and I'm sorry. I hate it for you, but it's the truth. Atheism and agnosticism is a religion. But if you ask an atheist, they'll tell you they're not religious. Then why are you guys listed as a religion?
No, that's a religion. It's a religion.
No. My brother's an atheist, and he's like, we don't believe in religion. Okay. But hear me out. I'm going to go over it, but hear me out. I saw this thing, if they call it the Book of Tim or the Book of whoever. Atheists actually meet in a church facility, building. Dude, that's called a religion. that's why I said, I'm sorry, but that's called a religion. So it's kind of like...
I said, I don't know that it used to be, but any belief system is a religion.
I know. But you ask an atheist and they'll tell you they don't believe in religion. You do. If you go to a building and meet every Sunday, well, that's called a religion.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate it. But anyway, atheism refers to either the absence of a belief in the existence of deities or to an active belief that deities do not exist. Yeah, okay. The belief system rejects theology as well as the construct of organized religion. Use of the term originated in the ancient world and was meant to degrade those who rejected commonly accepted religious precepts. And it was first applied during the Age of Enlightenment and the 18th century France. The French Revolution was driven by the prioritization of human reason over the abstract authority of religion, period of skeptical inquiry, one in which atheism became an important cultural, philosophical, and political entity. Many who characterize themselves as atheists argue that a lack of proof or scientific process prevents in the belief of a deity. Some who refer to themselves as secular humanists have developed a code of ethics that exists separate from the worship of a deity. Determining the actual number of practicing atheists is quite difficult, given the absence of a unifying religious organization. Polling around the world has produced an extremely wide variance, with the largest rates of atheism generally in Europe and East Asia. There's a lot of atheists in America, too. Closely related is the idea of agnosticism, which doesn't profess to know whether there is or there isn't. Instead, agnosticism argues that the limits of human reasoning and understanding make the existence of God or gods the origins of the universe, and the possibility of an afterlife is all unknowable. Like atheism, the term emerged around the 5th century BCE and was contemplated with particular interest in Indian cultures, and it gained more popular modern visibility when coined by the English biologist Thomas Henry Huxley, who in 1869 recognized that the incapacity of humans to truly answer questions regarding the divine. To Huxley and the agnostic and atheist thinkers who followed, theistic or Gnostic religions lack scientific basis and therefore should be rejected. Now,
a Unitarian Universalism, I think, falls under that. Unitarian Universalism?
It might be. What's that? Scientology would be under that as well.
Joke.
Now,
that was starting on a bet.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. Some agnostics, my brother, an atheist absolutely believes there is no God, or there's no proof there is God, whatever. And an agnostic used to believe in God, but now no longer does. Usually that happens when a traumatic event happens in their life. Death of a parent, grandparent, a child, or whatever. And they blame God, and therefore they no longer believe in God, and they become agnostic. My brother, we grew up in church from birth. And the thing is, he has a hard time because he's a physicist. And he said, in the world of science, you cannot believe in God. But that's wrong, because a lot of doctors, a lot of scientists do believe in God. There's a lot of atheists before they died actually converted to Christianity. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if it's true or not, but Darwin, they said, was not an atheist at the end. But that's another argument.
Darwin was a Christian, a true believer in God, and then his daughter died, and he got mad at God. And then he wrote the theory, and he never said it was absolute. Evolution was always a theory. But, yes, at the end, he made his peace with God, and,
Here's the thing. Atheists do not acknowledge that. They won't acknowledge
it. Don't acknowledge what? That it's a theory?
No. They won't acknowledge the fact that Darwin converted to Christianity before he died.
He went back. In other words,
he
was a Christian. He got mad at God, became an atheist. And then at the end, like you said, he reaccepted. What's that? He was reborn or whatever back into Christianity.
Born again. Yeah.
And he started out being a strong believer in God until his daughter died, and that's like my sister was agnostic. She believed in the possibility of God or some superior being, but not in the Christian God. My mom, who was raised Catholic, and she knew the Bible forwards and backwards and believed a lot of the stories in it because it is factual. It's a history book, and a lot of it's been proven to be factual. She did not believe in God. She did not believe in the existence of God, despite, Catholic. And a lot of the atheists were Catholic, and that's a fact. But towards the end, before my mom died, like Darwin, she started believing again and made her peace with God before she died. And because like you were saying, atheists do not refuse to believe in even the possibility of a God, because then that would make everything else they believe a lie and wrong. You know, so they're not even willing to consider the possibility of a superior being. So you're right.
Exactly.
In that.
And they don't see, the thing is, pride will get you every, that's one of the seven deadly sins, pride. And it's the worst one. And that's the thing. Men, when I say man is prideful, I mean woman and man.
You mean mankind. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to butt hurt anybody. Man is very prideful. And see, it doesn't, you can go into politics with that statement. You could go with religion, relationships. I don't care what it is. If somebody has to admit they're wrong and they have a lot of pride, they'll never do it. They'll go to their death believing what they want, and no matter what it is. So this next one I've never heard of is called the Baha'i. And the Baha'i faith is essentially a spiritual ideology that teaches the value of all religions, espousing the importance of universal equality and unity. It looks like hallelujah, but it's Baha'u'llah, the founding figure in the Baha'i faith, officially established his ideology in 1863 in Persia, or Iran now, as something of a hybrid of other faiths. Baha'i grew out of the tradition of Babism, which itself emerged from the Islamic denomination called Shaikhism. Today, Babism exists with a few thousand adherents, concentrated largely in Iran, and standing separately from the Islamic ideologies that surround it. So apparently, Baha'i takes Islam and Christianity and kind of crams it together, is what it is. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's kind of like what the Pope and the Imam over in Turkey or somewhere over there, the Imam, they want to call it Chislam, Christianity and Islam, and they want to cram it together, and that's going to be the one world religion.
That's not wrong. So, No. Yeah. That's
what?
That one world religion shit that the New World Order wants to put together to control.
I know. The Pope's already done it. I saw like a 30-minute video of the Pope, and he was talking about it, about Chislam. And it's already, that's what the one world religion is going to be. And that's kind of what Baha'i is. And so it incorporates some of the teachings of Islam, but merges in with some Christian, not all Christian principles. And the central governing body of the Baha'i faith is a 9-member council called the Universal House of Justice, and operates in Haifa, Israel. Today, the Baha'i faith has somewhere between 5 and 7 million followers around the world. Kind of weird. I've never heard of it. There's a few different religions that's not in here, but I don't know if you would consider paganism a religion, but they don't have paganism, and they don't
Paganism in and of itself, yeah, but a lot of things fall under paganism. People think that paganism is all Satan worship, and it's not. Anybody that doesn't worship a god comes under paganism. Like the Druids come under paganism. Wicca, not witches, Wicca comes under paganism. Any religion that worships the goddess, mother goddess, that all comes
under
paganism.
Well, they've got the Druids. Yeah, they didn't cover, well, I guess they said the 18 major, so I guess there's other ones. And then the satanic cults and all of that. Buddhism is a religion and a philosophy. And the tradition and beliefs surrounding Buddhism can be traced to the original teaching of Gautama Buddha, a sagely thinker who is believed to have lived between the 4th and 6th centuries BCE. And the Buddha lived and taught and the eastern part of ancient India, providing the template for a faith based on the ideas of moral rectitude. Freedom from material attachment. Huh?
No, I was going to say, my last coworker as a Buddhist, he's from Nepal, and he told me the history of Buddhism and how it came about and how it wound up in China the way it does, you know, in the Middle East, where it started and how it changed. It's really kind of cool.
Oh, I know. But they believe, hold on. So they believe in freedom from material attachment or desire, the achievement of peace and illumination through meditation, and a life dedicated to wisdom, kindness, and compassion. The Buddhist teachings proliferated widely through much of Asia in the centuries that followed. Though its scriptures and traditions inform countless subsequent sects and ideologies, Buddhism is largely divided into two branches. Theravada, which is the goal is to achieve freedom from ignorance, material attachment, and anger by practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, all in pursuit of a sublime state called Nirvana. And Mahayana, the goal is to aspire to Buddhahood by practicing the Zen principles of self-control, meditation, and expression of the insight of Buddha in your daily life, especially for the benefit of others, all to end the achieving Bodhisattva, or an ongoing cycle of rebirth by which you can continue to enlighten others. Today, roughly 7% of the world practices some form of Buddhism, making it the fourth largest of the world's religions, with estimated 500 million followers in the Eastern and Western world. I mean, there's nothing wrong, in all honesty, there's nothing wrong with, like, what it teaches, be freedom, free of ignorance, which here's the problem. In today's day and age, that's impossible. Because I'm serious. There's people are so gimme, my. What am I going to get? All the material possessions. And the ignorance and the anger. There's no way. I mean, I'm not saying you can't, but with today's, I just don't see how many people can practice it. But it makes sense, you know, to meditate.
My first husband, he always said, you know, he had to pick a religion. He considered himself a Zen Buddhist because they're different, like you were saying, different Buddhism. Like we have different denominations of Christianity, Protestant, Lutheran, all that stuff.
Yeah.
They're different, I don't know what levels, whatever you want to call it, or visions of what Buddhism is. And
yeah.
My husband, he did Sufi, which is, I think, Sufi was a form of Zen Buddhism. And, he was definitely a believer, and he practiced it. He believed the universe would provide. He was very good at you know, mystical shit. I think it's fascinating, and some of what you're saying, I know other stuff is new to me, like the Baha'i and whatnot.
In Nepal, there is, I've always wanted to go, and I never got to go, but before this bullshit hit, in Nepal, they have a temple, and they welcome all world religions to go there.
Yes.
As long as you're not ugly to people, and you know, all that stuff, but it's a place of peace. Now, here's the thing. I listen to all the different types of music, like the sounds, the waterfalls, the rain,
right,
the thunderstorms, all of the different things. I may not meditate, but there's nothing wrong with, because it all has to do with your mind and your the chemical balance in your brain. And listening to the tranquil music.
Meditation. Prayer is a form of meditation.
It is. Yeah, it is. And what I do is when I do my prayers or whatever, or if I'm just laying down or if I'm reading, I will listen to tranquil music. One, it gets your it lowers your anxiety and stuff. So that's a lot of what Buddhism is too. You know, so Christianity is a monotheistic religion based on the life and teaching of Jesus of Nazareth. Christianity teaches that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah, the Savior of humanity, foretold in the Torah, the primary scriptural doctrine of the Jewish faith. Christian scripture incorporates both the Torah, which is the Old Testament, with the story of Jesus and his teaching in the New Testament. And the Bible is the central text of Christian faith. Christianity began in Jerusalem as an outgrowth of Judaism that considered Jesus Christ as the anointed one. This idea and its adherents spread rapidly through ancient Judea around the first century and then throughout the ancient world. Christians believe that Jesus successfully met and completed all the requirements of the Old Testament. He took upon himself the sins of the world during his crucifixion, died, and rose to life again, so that those who place their faith in him are forgiven of their sins, reconciled to God, and granted grace for daily living. So Christians maintain that heaven with God awaits them after bodily death, whereas eternal separation from God in hell awaits those who neither receive forgiveness for their sins nor acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Christianity is the largest religion in the world, which I did not know that. I thought Islam was coming up, but no.
Really?
Christianity has about 2.4 billion followers, or 33% of the total population. See, I didn't realize that.
They actually, at one point, Christianity did lose a lot of believers, but I want to say about 5-10 years ago, it started going up again.
Oh, and it's going to. Christianity, okay, and here's another thing. I know why a lot of people, and I've heard this from atheists, agnostics and stuff, you have Christianity and you have religious people. Religious people are the hypocrites. They're the Bible thumpers, the Jimmy Swaggerts. You know what I'm talking about? That's those. And they're the ones that turn people away. Honestly, they're the ones who turn people away from Christianity. Christianity is a relationship with God. And that's the big difference. And you see, some other religious don't understand that. And that's why people need to know. So
why I always tell people I don't like the Catholic religion because they focus on the catechisms and yada, yada, yada. But that doesn't mean you don't have true Christian, true good Catholic priests or Catholic churches or Catholic, you know, or people, Christians who are Catholic. It's, you know, it's organization itself that has the problem. But you're right. Things like that, you know, all the child molesting that they let the priests do and everything, that turned away a lot of people, not just from the Catholic Church, but from Christianity in general.
Yeah. Okay, so I actually did this because I went ahead and looked this up because it didn't have any of them. Now, you ready for this? Is another, oh, my God. So, under Christianity, the Baptist denomination. But here's the thing. Under the Baptist denomination, there is, hold on a second, 21 separate denominations under the Baptist religion. There's Alliance of Baptists, the Baptist,
that
Baptist
many?
General.
Holy cow. I knew there was more than one.
Oh, no, it gets better. Then there's the Methodist Church, and there's about 6 different variations of Methodist churches. Presbyterian has about 4. The Orthodox is nine different ones. That's the Greek Orthodox, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of Canada, the Ukrainian Orthodox, Romanian Orthodox Episcopate. Yes, I'll say. There's three different varieties of Episcopal and Roman Catholic, six different Lutheran churches. Then there's the Reformed, which is the Calvinist, the Reformed, Christian Reformed Church in North America, and Evangelical Presbyterian. Now, the Spirit-filled Church. This is where you've got all of your others. Apostolic Church of Pentecost of Canada, the Charismatic, Church of God, Church of Christ, Congregational Holiness, let's see, Pentecostal, Full Gospel, Church of God of Prophecy, Church of God, Assembly of God, Calvary Baptist. These are the ones that speak in tongues and they, and stuff like that. Then you have Christian churches, which has some apostolic, which I have no idea what that is.
And you
evangelical.
Have non-denominational.
Well, non-denominational goes under Christian. And I now believe I actually moved from the Baptist denomination to non-denominational simply because there were a lot of different things that Baptists teach,
right,
which is not really right. There's a lot of hypocrites in the Baptist church.
And don't forget the Jehovah's Witnesses. Hey, I got to hang on for a second. I'll call back in a minute.
Okay. So under the Christian, there's the Mennonites, there's Messianic Judaism, and a lot of those are the Jews who convert to Christianity. That's the churches that they have. I've seen a lot of Jews convert to Christianity lately, especially the last 18 months. That's all of those. Nazarene, Old Order Amish Church, the Salvation Army. So a lot of those, this says there's 140 different denominations of Christian churches. So apparently there's more than one way to get to the end point. And in all honesty, the way I look at it now, the music's different. I mean, you have, you have your contemporary Christian and then the old-timey Christian. I'm sure everyone's heard a lot of the old Amazing Grace, Old Way, Old Rugged Cross, all of those. And some of these denominations, they don't play the new contemporary, they play the old stuff. It also depends on, some have drums, guitars, and things like that. A lot of your Baptist churches and others only have a piano and an organ. It also depends on how the person preaches on any of these denominations. So it's really interesting on how they all the Christian denominations are. So let's get back to where are we at? Okay, Confucianism and religious orientation in ancient China. One that emerged from teachings of Chinese philosopher Confucius. I'm sure everyone's heard of Confucius, who lived from 551 to 479 BCE. Confucius viewed himself as a channel for the theological ideas emerging from the imperial dynasties that came before him, with an emphasis on family and social harmony. Confucianism was a distinctly humanist and even secularist religious ideology. Confucianism has a profound impact on the development of Eastern legal customs and the emergence of a scholar class. Confucianism would engage in a historic push and pull with the philosophies of Buddhism and Taoism, experiencing ebbs and flows in influence with high points during the Han and the Tang and the Song dynasties. Buddhism became the dominant spiritual force in China. Confucianism declined in practice, and with the emergence of communism and Maoism in the 20th century, the mainstream practice of Confucianism was largely at an end. However, it remains foundational ideology and force underlying Asian and Chinese attitudes towards scholarly, legal, and professional pursuits. So indeed, the strong work ethic advocated by Confucianism is seen as a major catalyst for the late 20th century rise in the Asian economies. Today, there are various independent Confucian congregations, but it was only in 2015 that congregation leaders in China gathered to form the Holy Confucian Church. I don't know if you, Bobby, I don't know if you've ever heard of some of the, hold on, let me see if I can find it. And I don't know if a lot of these are just funny. man who runs front of car get exhausted. No, man who runs behind car get exhausted. Huh? Do what?
I said, then Confucius says, there's really some good ones. And you made a point, you know, with the onset of communism, they got away from Confucianism, Taoism, and all of that, because that means free thinking. And communism doesn't want people free thinkers.
Yeah.
They want, you know what I mean? So, you know,
yeah.
So they gave up their own religion that, I mean, and you think about all that China accomplished before communism. And part of that was because, I mean, they were free. They expanded their mind.
So here, I thought this is cute, and apparently I was right. Somebody, and I'm just going to go over a couple of them. I thought my aunt had sent me this, God, like 15 years ago. And I still have the damn email, by the way. So here are some famous Confucius quotes. The man who says he can and the man who says he cannot are both correct. So that's mainly what their thing is. Real knowledge is to know the extent of one's ignorance.
Correct. We don't know what we don't
the journey,
know. Until
the journey with 1,000 miles begins with one step. So
right.
A lot of these are just ways of, you know, how you look at life.
That's like my first husband was a believer in we don't know what we don't know, so we need to know it.
Now, this is very true. Choose a job you love, and you will never have to work a day in your life.
Correct.
And you are what you think.
Yep.
Which is true.
Yep.
That's why they tell people, And we teach this a lot, especially to children. Never call a child stupid. If you say you're stupid enough, long enough, you will
they
start
believe
to believe it.
We never tell kids, you know, that, you know, when my niece and nephews or any child I know that does something that was stupid or whatever, and we correct them on something, whatever, and they could say, oh, I can't believe I'm so stupid or whatever. And it's like, no, you are not stupid. What you did may have been stupid, but you're not stupid. And they seem to have stopped doing that. They don't seem to reassure kids anymore that they're not stupid. You know, that they can do something.
Yeah.
They need to make mistakes. You know, and it's sad. But, yeah, you're right.
Okay. This one, I got to think about this one for a while. We have two lives. The second begins when we realize we only have one.
Oh, wow. That's deep.
I know. Act
no,
with kindness.
I get it, but it's deep. I never, you know,
I know.
Never really thought about it. But, I mean, that makes sense.
I'm actually going to save these. I'm just going to randomly put them up because, honestly, that goes far beyond. This is what Confucius said, but this stuff is like, wow. Act with kindness, but do not expect gratitude. That's a big
yeah.
one because a lot of people expect something in return. Well, if you do something for somebody, right, and all they do is remind you that they did something, like if It's like, if I have to be reminded constantly that you gave me $10 for gas, I really don't give a crap, and I'm not going to ask you ever again for $10 for gas.
Right.
Those
right.
are the kinds of people.
Yeah, right, right. There's a difference between a loan and a gift.
Yeah. No. Even if I say, no, like I borrowed, like we had to borrow $10 from my ex-brother-in-law for gas or something. I can't remember what it was. Something stupid. Paid him back right away. But constantly being reminded that they did that. Look, if you have to be constantly told, well, I did this for you, then you did it for the wrong reason. That goes along,
exactly.
I think that goes with Christianity when whatever you do with your left hand makes sure your right hand doesn't see it. Huh?
I said, I'm passing by a police officer. He's sitting in his car, lights on, watching the road, sound asleep.
Here's a good one. When it's obvious the goals cannot be reached, adjust the goals and adjust the action steps. That's why we teach.
It took me 40 years to learn that.
That's why we teach people to have a focus board, have short-term goals and long-term goals.
Yep.
Like buying a house. That's a long-term goal, unless you're rich. Then it doesn't matter. Pay your light bill, short-term goal. Because if paying your light bill is a long-term goal, you've got issues, and you don't need to worry about that.
Well,
so,
here's the thing. What you have to do is, like, my ultimate goal is to retire to do boondocks, but I had to do it in steps. First, I had to fix my credit in order to get the camper. You know what I'm saying? But it took me 40 years to figure out, well, not 40, more like 30, to figure out this is what I have to do and how to do it, because I would always, like losing weight. Fine, this is your ultimate goal, but just look at a little bit, set a goal, baby step. Remember that, and
okay. Here's the last one, because I need to get back into the other things. I'm going to post, there's 100 of them. And for the next 100 days, I'm going to post one on Facebook, and I'll do it on our national chat too, or on Telegram. I want to post one every day, and I want to see what kind of reaction I get to some of these. But here's the last one. When you see a good person, think of becoming like him or her. When you see someone not so good, reflect on your own weak points.
That's nice. That's interesting.
That's a deep one too. See, instead of saying, oh, my God, you're such a drunk, look at yourself and say, do I drink that much? Do I need to cut back? Or, things like that. Or that person's such a liar. Reflect on yourself and think, how much do I lie? Because that goes, and honestly, that right there goes by one of the verses in the Bible, judge not lest ye be judged, and everyone takes it out of context. And then it goes on further and further to talk about before you help your brother remove the speck out of his eye, remove the plank out of your own. So that is the same exact thing. Before you judge somebody else, take a look at your own faults before you look at theirs. Wow, that's the same exact thing. That's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah, take the log out of your eye before taking the splinter out of your neighbor's.
Yeah, well, depending on the I go by King James, but like again with the Bible, there's like a bajillion different translations.
But the point is, if you look at a lot of these religions, their histories, their backgrounds, and everything, you'd be amazed at how many similarities there are, story-wise. Not just stories as in historical.
Oh, you know what else they don't have on here?
What?
There's the other thing they don't have on here is Greek mythology and
what about, really?
Norse mythology.
You have Greek,
they don't
Roman, Norse, Egyptian mythology. They all have different pantheons. So Yeah, I know a
yeah,
lot
but
about
here's
those.
The
I
thing. Mean, yeah, yeah, but here's the thing about those. And this hit me, and I'm like, before, and if you get to go back to, and this goes back to Abraham, before Moses, before Noah, before all of them, where did Zeus and Odin and all of them come from? They believe, a lot of people believe that Greek mythology, Norse mythology, and all of them are all the fallen angels. They're all the fallen angels from heaven. And
wow.
They came to earth. Yeah. I'm not saying it's true, but it makes sense.
I never heard that theory, but that would actually make some sense when you think about it. Prometheus bringing fire to man. Those are the Titans.
Yeah.
You know, the Titans came first and then the gods. So maybe the gods were the Nephilim or something. But
and that's the thing. They're the Nephilim. When Satan was kicked out of heaven, he took a third of the angels. And when he did that, and this is a strong belief with a lot of people, because I had to look it up, because I was thinking, there's just no way that Judaism to Christianity are the only, and because I'm a Christian, I say, you know, whatever, that God would allow all these other people, you know, and that's when the Tower of Babel and all this, the Nephilim and all them, I think that's what it is, that they're all fallen angels, and that's their one goal, is to set everybody astray from, and I think that, that's a discussion.
The Nephilim were not human. They were transhuman because, I mean, they were the children of gods or angels and humans.
And angels and humans.
Like,
and here's the thing. In Greek mythology, you have Zeus, you have the gods, and the demigods. Same thing. A demigod is a god who, one of them, Zeus, Hera, and all of them, who had a child with a human, the demigods. And that's why I was saying it's just too coincidental for them to not connect.
Right.
So, anyway, so Druid,
yeah, but
Druid,
connect
or
Noah,
Druid.
But Hercules, huh? Hercules and Samson were after Noah. So,
I'm just saying far back. No, I know. I'm just saying in general, far back, it goes far back before when the Nephilim came down.
I never thought about that. That's something to seriously consider. I have to do some more research now. I love the mythology. Yeah.
So Druze refers to an Arabic ethno-religious group that originated in and still largely inhabits the mountain of Druze region in southern Syria. Despite a small population of followers, the Druze nonetheless play an important role in development of their region, known as historical shorthand as the Levant. The Druze view themselves as direct descendants of Jethro of Midian, distinguished in Jewish scripture as the father-in-law of Moses. The Druze consider Jethro a hidden prophet, one through whom God spoke to revealed prophet Moses. I did not know that. I had no idea about this. Such, the Druze are considered related to Judaism by marriage. Like their in-laws, the Druze are monotheistic, professing faith in only one God. Druze ideologies are something of a hybrid through drawing from the cultural teaching of Islam, but also incorporating the wisdom of Greek philosophers such as Plato, and concepts of reincarnation similar to those in Hindu canon. Jethro's status as a hidden prophet is an important conceptual dimension of the Druze culture, and that indeed its present-day scriptures and community remain somewhat insular, and the close-knit communities rooted in present-day Syria, Lebanon, and Israel have long been subject to persecution, particularly at the hands of Islamic theocracies, And this may be one of the reasons that the Druze, while particularly in the politics and affairs of their home nation, shield their customs and practices from the eyes of outsiders. Today, there's about 800,000 to a million Druze followers, and most of them are all in the Middle East. See, some of these I've never heard of, in a kind of like a, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Kind of like the second cousin, like my mother's brother's sister's cousin's father's uncle kind of thing. I didn't realize a lot of these are related and tie into each other. Gnosticism likely refers to not a single religious orientation, but an interreligious phenomenon in which various groups across an array of regions evolved to a similar set of beliefs and ideas. A term adapted in modern historical discourse, Gnosticism concerns a variety of religious systems and beliefs in the ancient world that emerged from the Judeo-Christian tradition. These belief systems held that emanations from a single God were responsible for the creation of the material world, and that as such, all humans carried the divine spark of God. Gnosticism is a dualistic and draws sharp divides between the superior and spiritual world and the inferior material world, with the gaining or receiving of special hidden knowledge, allowing transcendence from one realm to another, emerging in the first century CE in close concert with the emergence of Christianity. Gnosticism is perhaps best understood as the intermediary set of ideas shared by portions of the world as Christianity gradually eclipsed Judaism in size and scope. I see, and here's another one that crosses with Judaism and Christianity. It's weird. The same way that Islam and Judaism and Christianity are tied by Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac. Because Ishmael was the firstborn son, but he was not Sarah's. Isaac was. So when Ishmael was sent off, that's who started Islam. And then it's Isaac within Christianity, well, Judaism, and because he's Old Testament. So a lot of these are all tied together. So Hinduism is regarded by some as the world's oldest religion, likely dating back to what is known as the Indian subcontinent as the Vedic Age. During this period of 1500 to 600 BCE, civilization transitioned from tribal and pastoral living into settled and agricultural living. From this emerged social classes, state entities, and monarchies. Primary texts retelling this period of history are called the Vedas and would significantly inform the so-called Hindu synthesis. And the Hindu synthesis was a period of time roughly from 500 BCE to 300 in which the precepts of Hinduism solidified from multiple intertwining strands of Indian spiritual and cultural tradition, emerging from a broad range of philosophies to share a unifying set of concepts. Critical among these concepts is the theme of the four Purusharthas, or goals of human life. Dharma is ethics and duties, Artha, verity and work, Kama, desires and passions, and moksha is liberation and salvation. Other important concepts include karma, which asserts a universal relationship between action, intent, and consequences. Samsara, the Hindu concept of rebirth, and a wide range of yogic practices emerging from the body, mind, and elements, which is probably where they get yoga from. Though no one figure or group is credited with its founding, Hinduism is the third largest religion in the world today and has more than 1 billion followers. though no one, well, they just repeated that same paragraph. Hold on. Kind of like when they say karma's a bitch and it's a stripper. No, life's a bitch and it's a stripper named Karma. Anytime you do something stupid, that's why they say karma's a bitch. That's where they get it from. Maybe not quite that way, but Islam is a monotheistic religion. Just like Christianity and Judaism traces its roots to the Garden of Eden, Adam, and the prophet Abraham. Islam teaches that Allah is the only God and that Muhammad is his messenger. Islam holds that God spoke to Muhammad through the archangel Gabriel sometime around 600 CE, delivering the revelations that would form from the Quran. This primary text of the Islamic faith is believed by its followers to contain the exact words of God and therefore provides a full, non-negotiable blueprint how to live, which is also the Bible. Same thing. Your blueprint, your non-negotiable blueprint of how to live. The same thing. The Quran and the Islamic legal code known as Sharia inform every aspect of life from ethics and worship to family matters, yada, 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 business dealings. Islam holds the good behavior and adherence will lead to an afterlife in paradise, whereas disregard for Muhammad's teachings would lead to damnation. Same thing as the Bible. The Islamic faith proliferated rapidly to the Middle East, particularly around the three holiest sites, Mecca, where an awakened Muhammad made his first pilgrimage, Medina, the center of early Islamic faith under Muhammad's leadership, and Jerusalem, the spiritual capital of the ancient world. And Jerusalem is the holiest city in the world. And that's why the Jews and the Palestinians and the Muslims fight over that one spot in Jerusalem. And they've been fighting for like ever in a day. The spiritual word of the ancient world, okay, in the centuries to follow, Islam was simultaneous succession and a growing sense of spiritual unity with the Arab world. The dichotomy between internal conflict and cultural unity remains a presence in the Islamic faith today. This dichotomy would also give way to a division between the two dominant sects of Islam, the Sunni and the Shia. I thought there was three. I guess it's only two. Okay. Today, Islam is the dominant faith for large swaths of geography, particularly in the Middle East, and Southeast Asia and North Africa, with more than 1.6 billion followers. And the thing about the Sunni and the Shiite Muslims, they're totally different. That's like saying Christian.
They hate each other. If one sees another, they immediately try to kill them.
It's kind of like the Catholics and the Christians.
Well,
I mean, you're Protestant.
Well, we don't try and kill each other, though.
Oh, I know we don't try to kill each other, but you know what I mean. It's like Catholic and Protestant.
Right.
Now, the thing with, well, we already gone out. I'm not going to keep going over that. Because, ow, my damn foot. Hold on a second. I got to let up my tard. My leg's falling asleep. I had to stand up. Sorry, guys. So Judaism is the 10th. It's Jainism. It's an ancient Indian religion that, according to its followers, can be traced through a succession of 24 sage teachers. The first of these teachers is thought to have been, Rishabhanatha, who lived millions of years ago. Jainism's primary tenets are nonviolence and many-sidedness, and I'm not even going to bother to pronounce those two words, but that's what they mean. And a paragrapha, which means non-attachment, and asceticism, which means absence from pleasure. And these and other concepts are outlined in the Akaranja Sutra, and the oldest of the Jainist scriptures. As one of the earliest extant religious traditions to emerge from the spirituality fertile Indian subcontinent. Sorry, I'm just having a hard time reading this for some reason. Jainism both shares with its divergence from features of the Hindu and Buddhist traditions. Also emerged there, like Hindu and Buddhism, Jainism teaches the doctrines of karma, rebirth, and monistic, which is opposed to theistic spiritual practices. Jainists believe the soul is an ever-changing thing, bound to the body for only a lifetime, which differs from the Hindu or Buddhist ideas about the soul as part of an infinite and constant universe. So a Jainist believes that your soul is only in your body for as long as you live, and once you die, your soul leaves. Jainists believe the soul is an ever-changing. Oh, hold on, I said that. Okay, this focus on corporeal also extends to the Jainist caste system, which, not unlike Hinduism, requires followers eschew social liberation in favor of spiritual liberation. Today, most of the world's 4 million Jains reside in India. A lot of, they have a caste system in India. It's kind of like, we don't have that here. Hold on a second. I can't really explain it.
If you're born to a garbage man, you're going to be a garbage man. You will never be a lawyer.
Yeah. Hold on. Oh, India. Here, we'll go with this. Okay, I'm just going to do the one of India. Hold on a second. Here is the caste systems are rigid social groups characterized by hereditary transmission of lifestyle, occupation, and social status. So, yeah, if you were a garbage man, well, guess what? That's what you're going to be, and that's what you're going to be. And that, it's kind of like, what's that movie there?
Divergent.
Yeah, it's same thing. That's what their caste system is. Except in Divergent, you have to go through those tests, and it places you.
Right, you can
but choose. Nine times out of ten.
Right.
Nine times out of ten, you're going to be. Yeah.
What your parents are.
Yeah.
But you can choose. But here's the thing. You can choose. You go through that test, and then you get to choose to go to. If your test is different than your parents, you can go to where the test says, or you could choose to stay with your parents. Because I remember there was a woman who chose to stay with her parents, I think, even though she could have went somewhere else.
No, that was, there's Divergent. Hold on a second. I watched them all, and they're pretty cool, but you got to watch all of them. You cannot skip a movie. Divergent groups. I'm going to tell you. Hold on a second. That's not what I said. For the love of God, I did not say diverse. I said oh, my God. I don't really. Factions. They're called factions.
Factions. There you go.
Abnegation, which is selfless. Erudit is intellectual. Dauntless is brave. And that's the one where they jumped off the trains and all kind of cool shit.
Right.
Amity is peaceful, and candor is honest. And the blonde chick, she cuts her hair, and I forgot what her name is. Her mom was a dauntless, and when she got married, then she went over to abnegation, I think it was. And
right.
There was one thing about she could have been any of them. Remember
right.
how her test came out? Yeah. So that's what the
right.
cast
yeah,
system
they
is.
Told her, yeah, she had to be careful with her test. Right. I remember.
Yeah. So that's the same thing as a cast system, except you don't take a test. You just stuck there.
Yeah.
There's no winning the lottery. There's no, yeah, there's no coming into money and changing.
Nope.
That you just SOL. Judaism is one of the oldest monotheistic world religions, among the first ethno-religious groups to move away from idolatry or paganism and toward the recognition of a single deity. Judaism is said to have begun with the figure of Abraham, a man living in the land of Canaan, a geographical expanse likely encompassing portions of Phoenicia, Philistia, and Israel. And the Tanakh, the body of Jewish scripture, which includes the foundational text called the Torah, and later supplemental texts called the Midrash and the Talmud. And it is said that God spoke to Abraham and commanded him to recognize the singularity and the omnipotence of God. Abraham accepted, becoming the father of not just Judaism, but various monotheistic religions. See, I did not know that. So it's not just Judaism and Christianity. It's also Islam and others.
Yes. You didn't know that.
See, Abraham, that's what I'm saying.
Built the Mecca.
Abraham is the father of
Mecca.
He's the father of religion, in a
yeah.
sense. And that's why I said, I've had this conversation multiple times with a bunch of people. That all of these religions are tied together by
mm-hmm.
one person or two. If you count God as a person.
There's no such thing as coincidence.
That's what I'm saying. So, thus Abraham is seen as not just the first prophet of Judaism, but also Christian and Islamic faith that sprung from Judaic tradition. The Jewish faith is based on a covenant between Abraham and God, in which the former renounced idolatry and accepted the latter as the only divine authority. In exchange, God promised to make Abraham's offspring the chosen people. This chosen people would become the children of Israel and eventually the Jewish faith. To seal the covenant, Abraham becomes the first recipient of the ritualistic circumcision. And this circumcision is still performed today on every newborn Jewish male of the covenant. That's wrong.
It's not supposed to be on newborns. See, that's the problem. It was supposed to be, you're not supposed to be circumcised until you're 14 and become a man or accept you pass your bar mitzvah showing that you accept God. And that's when you're supposed to be circumcised. At infancy is not a true representation of what it's supposed to be.
Now, something that, okay, see, my son was circumcised at 3. He was sick when he was born, and we waited until he was 3. I'm going to tell you something. Waiting until the 14, not a cool idea either. he was 3 years old. Let me tell you something. It was not pleasant. He was the most hateful, cantankerous little shit. I know. So here is the thing between Christianity, and it's something that I just heard recently. It's called the circumcision of your heart. When you become saved in the Christian religion, you have a circumcision of your heart and therefore become a Jew, but not a real Jew in the sense of an Israeli Jew. So that I did not know that. I learned something new in the last week. Anyway, historians observe that while Abraham almost certainly lived more than 3,000 years ago, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I'm going to kill a dog. See, they want to be outside, and they act like retards. Hold on a second. I got to mute because I got to yell.
I want to hear more about the circumcision of the heart and being a Jew because of it. I don't want to be a Jew. I want to be a Christian.
No. It's not a literal sense. Watch Jack Hibbs. He's in California. He's on YouTube. And he talks about the circumcision of the heart, but it's actually in the Bible. And that just, it's not a literal meaning you're a Jew. No, that's not what it means. It's a, not theoretical. What the hell would you call it? Ah, shit, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, yes, because.
Yeah, something like that.
Christians, Tiles. The Jews weren't listening to Christ, and Mary Magda did. And, you know, God had some conversation with Christ. I don't remember the specifics, but at any rate, that's when he started preaching to the Gentiles, because originally Christ only came for the Jews.
No, Christ came for everybody.
Originally it was about the Jewish people. He didn't start preaching to the Gentiles until after Mary Magdala.
Yeah,
right?
And the thing is, I hate that dog. He's pissing me off. The thing is, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all them, they refused to acknowledge Christ, and therefore, that's when he went to everybody else. So, I'm even stupid outside. He's pissing me off. Okay. And so my dog takes my seat. I get up, and the little shit gets him. So roughly 14.3 million followers, practitioners of Judaism. I did not realize there was only 14 million Jews. I thought it was more than that. Okay. I did not know that this was actually a religion, Rastafarianism. I did not know that. Okay.
No, it's a real religion.
I'm aware of something. It's a newer religious movement that follows, guess who it follows? Abraham. It follows the Abrahamic tradition of monotheism, referring to a singular deity as Jah. Rastafari hold the Christian Bible as their... Wow, I did not know that either. So they actually read the Bible. Sort of like Mormons. They're sort of like Mormons. Mm-hmm. Mormons have their prophet. What's his name? What the hell is the Mormons?
John Smith.
Yeah, John Smith. They said he was one of the prophets who came from when after Christ died and all the prophets, the disciples split. They say John Smith came to America, and that's the thing about Mormons. They primarily preach out of the Book of Mormon, not the Bible, and that's why I refuse to go to a Mormon church. So, anywho.
Oh, I don't see Mormons. Yeah, no. Later day things, no.
So, hold on a second. So, Rastafari hold Christian Bible as their primary scripture, but offer an interpretation highly connected to their own political and geographical realities. Centered around 20th century Jamaica, Rastafarianism emerged as an ethno-cultural reaction to British occupation and oppression. This oppression would play a major role in the Afrocentric interpretation of the Bible favored by Rastafari. See, I didn't know that. In the early 1930s, the movement of Rastafarians were living in an African diaspora scattered from their homelands by colonization and slavery to be free from oppression in Western society or Babylon. Huh. Many Rastafari believe it necessary to resettle adherents in the African homeland. A figure of central importance in the Rastafarian faith is Haile Selassie, rose to the rank of Emperor of Ethiopia in 1930. This was considered the new germinal moment in the emergence of the modern religious tradition. Selassie was viewed by Rastafari as a second coming. Ah, a direct descendant of Christ. Yeah, they can't, but because Christ didn't have children. So unless it was one of Mary's other kids down that way, but that would be
usually
the only way.
That's what they mean. Usually that's what they mean from one of his siblings.
But they believe that this person was, they say, a descendant of Christ and the Messiah foretold in the book of Revelation. Selassie was seen as the man who would lead the people of Africa and those living in the diaspora to freedom and liberation. His 1966 visit to Jamaica would become the pivotal moment in the spread of Rastafari ideas and the resultant political movement for liberation with Jamaica. This visit led to the eventual conversion of Rastafari's most famous adherent singer, Bob Marley. Duh, okay. Marley would help spread the popular visibility of the faith, as well as its practices of communal gathering, music expression, preservation of the natural world, and the use of cannabis as a spiritual sacrament. Ah, see, I did not know that. I knew that when people say they're Rastafarians, I know a lot of Jamaicans smoke marijuana and stuff. I didn't realize that was the point of them doing it.
I didn't know. Because of where I grew up. The way I grew up and everything, I knew a lot of this, especially about Bob Marley and
in South Florida, you have Haitians and some Jamaicans. The funny thing is, my family's from the Cayman Islands. Now, the Cayman Islands has a lot of Jamaicans.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the Jamaican accent and the British accent crammed together. Yeah, it sounds funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
when my aunt would call.
I had an extremely eclectic bringing up. And, and to be quite honest, I like the fact. I mean, it's amazing. I'm always amazed at how much I actually know when talking to people. Not that I know everything, like I didn't know anything about it with Africa and stuff. I mean, I knew it was a religion. I knew about the cannabis is not just about getting high. For them, it was part of their
peyote for the Indians.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, and music and how it's actually a very peaceful religion, Rastafari. It's actually a very peaceful religion until they used it for political things, like the move. Like, Philadelphia.
That happens with everything.
Yeah.
It happens with everything, especially in Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Right.
And the IRA between the Catholics and the Protestants. Oh, yeah, it's big up there. So anyway, there's about 700,000 to a million followers that follow Rastafarianism. And most of them are in Jamaica.
Not just black people.
No, I know.
No, you
the
have
same
a
way
lot of
you
people.
Listen, they say white
a lot of
people can't
get
be African.
That white people are Rastafarian.
I know, but here's the thing. A lot of people say that white people can't be African. If you're born there, that's what you are. Well, that's his colonization. Well, guess what? If their family had been there for five decades, guess what? They're still African. Suck it up, Buttercup. Just because you're from one place doesn't mean.
I hate to tell you this. We're all African. If you're a creationist and a Christian and a creationist, and you believe that we all came from Adam and Eve, we're all from the continent of Africa.
Well, not everybody's black. That's what I'm saying.
The hell is that?
But here's the thing. They went, but here's the thing with what you're talking about where Eden is, it ended up in Israel because of Abraham and all of this. And see, that's the whole thing. Some black people say, boy, people can't be African. Well, then you can't be a black Israelite because you're not from Israel. You see what I'm saying? That's how stupid it is. Wherever you're born, that's what you are. I'm American with Irish and Scottish and English ancestry. That's the way it is. It's not African American. Sorry, unless you were born there, you're American with African descent. The same thing with any other culture. And people,
true
African Americans start thinking that way, huh?
True African Americans, Americans who migrated here from Africa, who moved here and became American, they are highly
African American.
Right. They are highly insulted and strongly dislike Black Americans who insist on being called African American.
Exactly. Exactly. And they can't stand Black people that's racist towards white people. They can't stand it. So, okay, moving on. The Shinto religion is native to Japan. Initially, an informal collection of beliefs and mythologies, Shinto was less a religion than a distinctly Japanese form of cultural observance. The first recorded use of the term Shinto can be traced to the 6th century CE. And is essentially the connective tissue between ancient Japanese customs and modern Japanese life. The primary focus of Shinto is the native belief in kami, or spirit, K-A-M-I, or spirits, and interaction with them through public shrines. These shrines are an essential artifact and channel for Shinto observation. More than 80,000 Shinto shrines, more than 80,000 of them in Japan. Traditional Japanese style of dress, dance, and rituals are also rooted in Shinto customs. Shinto is unique among religions as a reflection of Japanese identity. Shinto observance is not necessarily limited to those of who view themselves as religious adherents. Roughly 3-4% of the Japanese population identifies as being part of a Shinto sect. By contrast, in 2008, roughly 26% of the Japanese citizens reported visiting Shinto shrines. A lot of Japanese are Christians. A lot of South Koreans, Christians. It's really odd. If you've watched any Korean dramas, The Goblin, they're Christian.
Right.
But they believe in... Yeah, they're Christian. There's people that are Christians in it. And then, because they celebrate Christmas and they talk about God. And yeah, it's a pretty cool movie. It's like 17 episodes. It's all one. It's
what's
all
it
one
called
thing.
Again?
The Goblin. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to watch it, one, it's don't watch it. Don't get it dubbed. Watch it with subtitles.
Oh, I always do subtitles.
You're going to cry, you're going to bawl, and you're going to laugh. And the whole, you're going to laugh a lot. Hold on a second. Let me tell you what it is. The music is absolutely beautiful in that. The thing about the South Korean, about the Koreans, and they believe in reincarnation. And here's the thing about it. In the movie, some of the characters are not sure if they believe in reincarnation. And they say they have four phases to your life. You know, you're born, and then it's like it goes through each of them. And then on your last life is when you should have reached your full potential or whatever. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Hold on. It's called not that goblin. That's the gory. That's the scary one. Oh, here it is. The Goblin is the Korean movie, but it's got a longer name besides the Goblin. It's called Guardian, the Lonely and Great God Goblin. It's a long thing. You'll see the cover of it, and it's got five people in the front of it. It's an awesome movie. I've watched it like four times. I've seen it so many times that I don't even have to read the subtitles anymore to know what the hell they're talking about. That's how many times you get a sense of it. Once you start watching it, you get a sense of it and you know what happens through the whole thing. It's awesome. So anyway, Sikhism is a monotheistic faith emerging from and remaining in the Punjabi region of northern India and eastern Pakistan. The Sikh religion, Sikha or Sikh, S-I-K-H religion, came into focus during the late 15th century and draws its tenets of faith, meditation, social justice, and human equality from the Guru Granth Sahib. The first spiritual leader of Sikhism, Guru Nanak, lived from 1469 to 1539 and taught that a good spiritual life must be intertwined with a secular life well lived. He called for activity, creativity, fidelity, self-control, and purity, more than the metaphysical. Guru Nanak argued, is a life in which one enacts the will of God. Guru Nanak was succeeded by a subsequent line of nine gurus who served as spiritual leaders. The 10th in his line of successors, Guru Gobind Singh, named the scriptures of his successor. This was the end of the human authority in the Sikh faith. And the emergence of scriptures as a singular spiritual guide. Today, there are more than 28 million estimated followers of Sikhism, and they're mostly in India, and it's the seventh largest religion in the world. Okay, this one I have never freaking heard of. Zoroastrianism is one of the world's oldest religions, and has in some of its earliest ideas, Messianism, posthumous judgment, and the duality of heaven and hell are believed to have informed the evolution of Judaism, as well as Gnosticism, Christianity, and Islam. See, I'm telling you, this is weird. I'm glad I actually did this tonight because I've learned a lot. Its founding figure, Zoroaster, was an innovative religious thinker and teacher who was believed to have lived between 700 BC and 500 BCE in Persia. Its primary text, the Avesta, combines the Gathas with the Yasna, the scriptural basis of Zoroastrianism. Zoroaster's influence loomed large in his place and time. In fact, Zoroastrianism was soon adopted as the official state religion of the Persian Empire and remained so for nearly 1,000 years. So the ideas finally fell out of authority after the Muslim conquest of Persia in the 7th century. What followed was centuries of persecution and suppression by Muslim conquerors, to the point almost entirely snuffing out Zoroastrian teachings and practices in the Arabic-speaking world. These practices have seen a small resurgence in the late 20th and 21st centuries, with some Iranians and Iraqi Kurdish populations adopting Zoroastrianism as a mode of resistance to theocratic governance. And there's about 190,000 followers, and the most of them are in Iran, Iraq, and India.
That's interesting.
See, I'm telling you, I did not know this. I was saying, how could there just be, you know, like, well, besides Buddhism and Hinduism and Taoism and all them, but all of these that go back, I mean, it's amazing. So,
well, think of
African,
the Sumerians and the Anunnaki and all that. I mean, you didn't even discuss, like, the Native American or the Aborigines.
Yet.
I mean, they all have their own religions, too.
I know. Haven't got there yet.
I'm just saying it's amazing, like you were saying, how tied together everything is.
Oh, yeah. But apparently they didn't put – this is just the 18 major ones because, like I said, it does not have paganism. It didn't have a lot of the other – like the Aborigines and stuff like that. So anyway, traditional African religions, there are countless religious traditions that inform the inhabitants of the African continent, each with its own distinct practice and beliefs based on region, and ethnicity, because Africa contains diverse people groups, and their religions remain deeply tied to geography and tribal lands. The continent's history is a tapestry of distinct spiritual traditions. Many share common threads, including the belief in spirits, respect for the dead, and the importance of intercession between humanity and nature. Also common, many of these religions rely on oral history and tradition rather than scriptures. Though Christianity and Islam are today the dominant religions in Africa, informal estimates place the number of adherents to traditional African religions about 100 million. So,
wow.
I'm gonna try and pronounce some of these. If I can't pronounce it, I'm going to tell you where it's at. Okay. Bashango mythology is in Congo. Lugbara, and these are all mythologies. So that's in the Congo. Baluba is in Congo. Mbuti is M-B-U-T-I, is in Congo. Akamba is in Kenya. Lozi is in Zambia. Tumbuka is in Malawi. I've actually seen one person from Malawi. Yeah, it's cool. Did not know that country existed. Zulu is in South Africa. Dinka is in South Sudan. Hausa animism is in Chad and Gabon. Latuko is in South Sudan. Maasai is in Kenya, Tanzania, and Obion. Kalenjin is in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. Diya Sambwa is in Transnistria in Kenya and Bungoma. San religion is in South Africa. They have traditional healers of South Africa. Manjanjo, healers of Zimbabwe. I can't pronounce this other word. And then there's like Dogon religion, Vodun, Yoruba. I mean, there's just different sects of each one. And then there's the African diaspora religions and the European slave trade and the practices of colonization created what is known as the African diaspora. Here, the individual families and whole groups were displaced from communities or tribes they called home on the African continent. And the result was the proliferation of innumerable religious groups around the Caribbean, Latin America, and southern United States during the 16th and 18th centuries. Each had its own linguistic, spiritual, and ritualistic customs, generally rooted in their respective histories and their new geographic surroundings. So often, like the traditional African religions they emerged from, these groups shared common threads. And I'm not going to butcher half of these. Bataku, Kandombo, Dahomey, Haitian, Kumina, Makumba, Mami Wada. Yeah, that's a cool one. Palo, Ifa, Lukumi, Hoodoo, Santeria. And Santeria is actually, that's like, not black magic, but they believe in voodoo and all of that stuff. If you watch Law & Order SVU, they have a bunch of people in New York that believe in Santeria. They do the, I don't know if they still do, they did all the sacrifices, chickens, goats, and all that stuff. Okay. Shit, hold on one second. I just got a weird text message. Hold on. Oh, my God. Hold on a second. This is something that just came in that he just found. Austria authorizes the world's first nationwide lockdown for unvaccinated people over the age of 12. which goes into effect at midnight tonight.
Yeah,
which was last night.
I saw that. Tim Pool, he didn't just talk. There's a lot of other stuff going on. Yeah, he mentioned that, and you know, but the funny thing is they can still go out for a.
It's
only
anyway,
the fun
the last
stuff
one.
They can't do.
The indigenous American religions, the Native American religions, encompass the broad and diverse set of customs, beliefs, and practices observed by the indigenous populations that thrived in the Americas before the arrival of European colonists. The diversity of customs and beliefs represented here is as diverse as the major population centers, tribes, and small nomadic bands that inhabited the Americas for millennia. Theologies vary widely, representing a range of monotheistic, polytheistic, and animistic beliefs. Also, highly variant are the oral histories, principles, and internal hierarchical structures of these different indigenous groups. Some religions emerged around established kingdoms and settlements, especially in the monarchical societies of pre-Latin America, whereas others emerged around the tribes that moved within and between regions. Some common threads include the beliefs in spirits and a sense of connectivity with nature. Though many individuals and families descended from these tribes do practice some of the customs of their ancestors, indigenous religious customs have befallen the same broader fate as the Native American people. So they have the Earth Lodge religion, the Indian Shaker religion, the Longhouse religion, the Mexi Coyote, the Peyote, and the Washat. This by no means is a complete list because apparently there's a whole lot more. So you could actually, they didn't actually go through and do the whole entire thing. Each religion or tradition represented here and the countless not represented here offer worlds unto themselves, complete with scriptures, histories, leaders, events, codes of ethics, richly drawn mythologies, and unwavering adherence. You could spend a lifetime studying each of these these traditions. And a lot of people do. And I thought that would be a cool thing is for people to understand where everybody's coming from. And so when we look at – I'm going to save this. I think that's pretty cool. So if we go and look let's see – Eckertite. Hold on a second. Let me see if this ad. Ow, my freaking ass is like numb. Hold on a second. Oh yeah, see. Oh, they did. So there's Hinduism. Here's more. We went over Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Zoroastrianism, modern paganism, then there's spiritualism, Taoism. There's a lot of isms. Atheism, Mormonism, folk religion, Gnosticism, Native American. Hey, dude, where'd you go? That's just some more. Hold on a second. Yeah, that was the ones that we did not get into. I'm trying to see if there's any others. Now, then you have the dark side. Hold on a second. I can spell. And someone tried to tell me that. Okay, here we go. These are 15. We got a little bit more time. 15 bizarre religions around the world. It won't leave you intrigued. That's what it says. It just leaves me baffled. Okay, so Satanism is worshippers of Satan. Okay, here's the thing. Someone tried telling me that Satanism is not worshiping Satan. Henceforth, the word Satan right there at the smack dab at the beginning of the word. Yeah, Satanists are, it's a cult. It's, yeah, duh. See, okay, and this is what I don't get. And this right here just tells me, worshippers of Satan can broadly be categorized as spiritualists for whom Satan is an actual deity, and atheists for whom Satan is a figure symbolizing crisis of faith, individualism, and free will. Certain sects are notorious for their activities, like the Beast of Satan committed murders in Italy between 1998 and 2004, and the Order of Nine Angels affirmed human sacrifice. Here's the thing. If an atheist believes in Satan, how could you not believe in God?
Right?
You can't believe, you can't, it, and this has nothing to do with religion, okay? You can't have good without evil. You can't have right without wrong. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So
yin and yang, balance.
Yin and yang, exactly. So how can an atheist say they believe in Satan, but they don't believe in God?
Right.
I had a Satanist, I had an atheist tell me that they believe there is a God. Then how can you be an atheist?
Right.
I said, dude, and you're an agnostic. He's like, no, I'm an atheist. I'm like, no, dude, do you believe that there's Satan? He's like, yeah. Do you believe in God? He goes, I believe there is a God. I said, okay. Then how can you be an atheist? You are contradicting yourself. So that's why I don't get. So anyway, I mean, well, because I'll get it's a whole other friggin' soapbox and I want to get on it. okay. This, I really believe, is what's going on right now. The Church of Euthanasia, rising against the evil of exponential population growth. And I really honestly believe that's where this COVID vaccine is coming from. The constant increase in human population and simultaneous decrease in morals and values led to the birth of this church, whose commandment is, thou shalt not procreate. Wow. This is awful. I don't even know if I want, I'm not even going to read this. This is disgusting. When I say disgusting, the things that they teach is absolutely abhorrent. I can't even, I don't, because I don't want anyone to hear it. It's awful.
There's a lot of them.
It's what they believe in. It's what they believe. Some of the things they say is absolutely, I'll tell you what, they believe in abortion. That tells you here how bad the church, apparently Rastafarianism is on this 15, because like you said, I didn't realize it was an actual religion. Raelism believes that an extraterrestrial species, okay, yeah, they believe in UFOs and aliens and the, what you call them? Oh. Elohim are responsible for the genesis of the human race. Elohim is in the Bible. they believe that Elohim misinformed humans that they were angels and that Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, and other prophets of Elohim. They believe that the Elohim will come back to... Oh, my God, that is exactly what these people believe. That is creepy. Remember what I told you about all the different... The Greek mythology and all of that? That ties into this. Into realism. Wow. Okay. Continue on. The Iglesia Maradonia pray to the legend of football. Okay. Yeah. Sure. The Body of Christ is another one. It's called the Body of Christ. They denounce the seven systems of mainstream society, which include education, government, banking, and religion, but also medicine, science, and entertainment. Well, okay. That's another cool one. Scientology, that's it right there. That's that one. The Church of Scientology was established in 1954 by Ron Hubbard. I did not know L. Ron Hubbard. I did not know he did it.
Yes, L. Ron Hubbard bet another author, a dollar that he could start a functioning religion. And that's how Scientology was started.
Huh. Well, it's weird, but whatever. Okay. Hold on, I gotta hurry up and get Christian Science Reading Room.
I didn't know that was a religion. I thought it was just a library.
No, it's called the Christian Science Church, and they have the Christian Science Church Reading Room. Yeah. I didn't realize that either. Jedism, oh my God.
What's that?
Jedi. Star Wars.
Oh. Seriously?
Yeah, okay, apparently, yes. It was a religion inspired by George Lucas's Star Wars. They believe in the Force. The Jedi's believe that the Force is a reality and that morality is an innate quality of human beings. Wow. You could never... Oh, my God. Farianism. The worshippers of the flying spaghetti monster.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've been there. I've been to their website. I even joined their Facebook group for a while. And very interesting, very weird.
The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster has only one dogma. No dogma. Bobby Henderson's open letter to the Kansas School Board marked the official beginning of this religion. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, it happened to start in Kansas, for crying out loud. Presbyterianism, they idolize George Carlin, is the universal belief that when you die, your soul goes up onto the roof and stays there for an eternity, as described by the comedian George Carlin. And when he said the soul stays stuck up there until someone knocks it down with a long pole and your new life begins. For the love of God, okay.
What religion is that?
Presbyterianism. Where when you die, your soul sits on top of the roof of your house until someone knocks you down.
Ah!
Okay. Atheist Society believes in extraterrestrial intelligence. George King combined UFO claims with the ideas of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity to develop his religion in the 50s when he claimed he was approached by an extraterrestrial intelligence called Atheist. The spiritual organization states that it is dedicated towards the spreadings and teachings of advanced extraterrestrial intelligence. Sure. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Spiritual energy battery. Sure. Oh, vampirism. That I did not realize that's a religion, but yes, vampirism. Everyone knows what a vampire is. Kaldai believe the earth is only four spots away from hell. It's a highly political religion by nature. The Vietnamese religious group of the Cao Dai formed an army during the Japanese occupation of Indochina in 1943. The army was disbanded in 1955 by the Premier Diem because of its opposition to him. That religion believes that there are 36 levels to heaven. And they further believe that the 72 planets having intelligent life. Level 1 is closest to heaven, while level 72 is closest to hell, with Earth being positioned at level 68.
Interesting.
Huh. Their symbol of the religion is the all-seeing eye.
Huh, I wonder.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that is, in a nutshell, all the different religions, and I thought it was pretty cool. And I thought it was kind of cool to do something a little different and get a whole outlook on everything. So here's the thing. The moral of the story is you can't judge every religion because when it comes down to it, everybody goes back to Abraham. Pretty much.
Right. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Really
so it's going from A to Z, Abraham to Z, And there's like 400 million ways to get to the same spot.
Right.
It's what they've done. So I thought it was pretty cool. Damn,
yeah.
I covered it all in 2 hours.
Good
Definitely.
Timing.
I would.
Oh, you're awesome.
Oh.
I second that.
I was hoping to drag this out for like 2 or 3 weeks. Guess not.
Well, you can always pick one and go more in depth.
Well, that's if everybody wants to. I don't care. I just thought I'd pick something different between countries. I mean, it's like I don't want to bore everyone to death on that. I mean, when I say history of, if you guys have an idea, listeners and all, yeah, history of, I don't care if it's a history of making macaroni and cheese, damn it. I will do a show on the history of making macaroni and cheese. When I say history of, that's exactly what I mean.
Right.
We got 3 minutes, but real quick. Have they deliberated for Kyle, or is it they're starting tomorrow?
No, they're not coming to Monday.
Today is Monday.
They're allowed to go home, but the code is not to read anything. And, of course, this is to disregard any rioting. Oh,
they're supposed
sorry,
to start.
This is Monday.
They're supposed to start tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's
I know
in the jury's
dismissed
hands.
Three charges.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said it's in the jury's hands now.
Yeah, there's a couple of issues. There's some good things and bad things that happen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I think the judge may throw it out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think so too. Thank you again for another great show. God bless America. God bless our first responders, our children, our veterans, and God bless the military. And God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.